What's the latest on the crew? Let's go inside the clubhouse with Drew Wagner of Forbes Sports on the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Thunder Nellis. Brought to you by Verizon, the number one network in Milwaukee on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. Inside the clubhouse is brought to you by Focus Baseball, because fundamental development starts with focus. Find them at focusbaseball.com.
This is the Mason Crosby Show, presented by Verizon, the official 5G network of the Green Bay Packers. Joining us now on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law, is our good friend, the one, the only, Drew Wagner. Good morning, Drew. How was your weekend?
Good morning. It was eventful, uneventful. It was rather average.
Okay, so you're neither whelmed nor overwhelmed. You're neither underwhelmed or overwhelmed. You're just whelmed by it.
Yeah, well, we asked how your weekend was. Now, how was the Brewers' weekend?
Oh.
Yeah.
They probably had a slightly above average
there
weekend.
We go.
I think
there
that's
we
the
go.
Way I would look at it, yeah.
Amen. Amen.
They really did. I did see something, and I want to ask you this question before, you know, we were crowning the Brewers World Series champs. I mean, Tommy's already placed a bet on them to win the World Series. But, you know, I do want to caution, and I know you'll bring us back to earth. The Dodgers are, 2-10 in their last 12 games. Is this a Dodgers team that is just not performing great, or is it because they played the Brewers six of those 12 games and have just been you know, beaten by a better team? You know, just kind of run us through so I can jump off the bandwagon of this Brewers team is going to win the World Series right now in mid-July.
Well, the Dodgers were kind of slumping a bit when they came into Milwaukee for that three-game series. They had been kind of on a I can't remember what the losing streak was, but they were kind of struggling coming into Milwaukee. You know, listen, the Dodgers are a really good baseball team, and I'm not going to sit here and stroke the ego like, yeah, the Brewers swept them. Okay, yeah, the Brewers are a good team too. It doesn't hurt that they caught the Dodgers at exactly the right time. But at the end of the day, when you have a lineup that Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Will Smith, you're a pretty damn good team. And even the best teams are going to go through swoons. And part of sports is luck. And part of the Brewers' luck is their hot streak is coming right as the Dodgers' swoon is coming. So both things can be true.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think about that? I like that, Mace. Both things can be true.
I don't believe in that sport, like the luck aspect. I don't know if maybe luck is more of a baseball thing, but yeah, I feel like you kind of create your own luck whenever you're playing well.
But good things happen to
good teams that are playing good baseball.
I think Drew meant by luck was more timing. It's just like
the luck of the timing.
Yeah,
I see
the
what
luck
you're
of
saying.
The timing. Okay. Not luck.
I can be on board with that. Yeah, just like kind of good timing and yeah, falling into it at the right time. Well, you know, and we talked about this last week, Drew, and so we're going to jump right back into it. You know, all the talk about should this team make a trade, do all these things. Caleb Durbin, obviously, just out of his mind right now in July, especially, and is like really playing great, you know, for this Brewers team. So the players that are associated with coming to the Brewers are third basemen. Do you see the Brewers making a trade move before the trade deadline and trying to add something to this roster?
I mean, I think they're going to make a trade. I think they might make multiple trades. I don't think they're going to be the big blockbusters that fans are clamoring for. I know everyone is screaming, Eugenio Suarez, get him, give up whatever.
I don't think everybody's yelling that, Drew. I think some people are yelling that, but I think a lot of people are like, no, they're good enough. And if that means, like, not that Caleb Durbin's the best ever, but like, I'd say I don't think everybody's all in on Suarez.
Well, that seems to be the general consensus on the Twitter machine yesterday, and even in parts of this own building. I love you, Sparky. You know I love you. I think the ask is going to be huge because there are a lot of teams that need him. I just don't see that being the right fit. And now I'm hearing people say, well, in 2018, they went out and they got Jonathan Schoop and Mike Moustakas, even though they had Travis Shaw and this and that. I'm like, yeah, that didn't exactly work out as great as we remember. Remember, Jonathan Schilp was god awful with the Brewers. I don't know. I know one thing: they're going to shore up the bullpen. What they do about offense remains to be seen. But right now, you really can't argue with the results you're getting from your offense.
Yeah, I mean it's been fantastic. So, they are on a roll, no doubt.
Drew Wagner joining us on the Gruber Law guest hotline. With Jake Bowers going on the injured list and actually, you know, been in a prolonged slump, do you think one of those deals could be for a left-handed bat? Not necessarily a starting bat, but just a left-handed bat they can count on off the bench?
Yeah, I mean, that's something they're definitely probably going to look at. That's a position where they'll need help if Bowers doesn't come back sooner rather than later. Also, when he was healthy, he was playing pretty darn good. You know, the guy's got pop. The guy's got some power. He's a good pinch hitter. He's versatile. I think the Brewers, the best way to look at it is the Brewers can go out and make a deal, but they have the luxury where they don't have to. Like, they don't have to make a major move to shore up that offense. This isn't like a couple of years ago where they had to go out because they weren't hitting for a darn. I think they're in a good position going into the stretch run.
Yeah, as they go into this the series against the Mariners, kind of what are you looking for there? What do you see in the Mariners teams? This team that can give this Brewers team some fits. Just kind of break down what this series is going to look like as they're jumping out there to Seattle.
Oh, they're going up against another really good squad in the Mariners. They're going up against the home run leader in baseball and Cal Raleigh. It's going to be a tough series, but they have the blueprint. You know, they know how to win these tough series. You're going up against a team that hits the ball very well, but you're pitching the ball very well. It's all very, elementary when you break it down. If you keep doing what you've been doing the last three games, the last six games, last 10 games now, two games away from George Webb, love it. you know what you're doing. You're in good shape. And I think they need to go into it, like I always say, don't go into it looking for the sweep. Don't go into it looking for the series victory. Just go in looking to win that first game and deal with tomorrow. As long as they keep that focus, they're doing well. They're going to keep doing well.
For sure. We got Drew Wagner, our Brewers insider at Forbes. He's at Forbes Sports, at by Andrew Wagner on Twitter. Look for his Mount Rushmore of tweets that Tommy so eloquently put it. I'm looking at that series, and I'm just thinking about this Brewers team, and I know how your kind of mindset, as I'm getting to know you better, Drew, works. Is do you think for this Brewers team, kind of how they're built, what their makeup is, would you love to see them like hovering in this tied for first, kind of right behind the cut, like staying hungry through the end of July into August, where it's like they are still chasing something? I always worry about a team that gets out in front and then like the Dodgers, where that's when you can slump if you kind of relax. So I think, do you think this team is in a better position if they are just kind of right on the cusp and still staying hungry and chasing?
I think so. I've said this before. The last couple years, you look at the Brewers, they've gone wire to wire in that division with very few challengers. And then they get bounced by the team that comes roaring a heater into the postseason. Arizona, the Mets, go further back. The Nationals were one of those teams. The Braves were one of those teams in 2021. I think the Brewers are much better suited. You look at when they had their last really good postseason run. That was 2018. Well, how did they get in there? They wiped out a 6.5 game deficit over the final month of the season, forced a game 163 tiebreaker, and just kept riding it in the postseason. I think as long as they're in this chase and they're going neck and neck with the Cubs down to the wire, and I do think this race is going to go down to the wire, I think that bodes well for the Brewers. I think they're much better suited to being in a tight race and having to quote-unquote, as Murph says, win tonight than they are building up a cushion and coasting in.
I totally agree. I love that. Yeah, you said it perfectly as well. I got to ask you one golf question because I know you love Rory
and McIlroy so much.
But, you know, did you, and I had the boys, I had Tommy, I said, send him this clip. I don't know if you saw it, where it was an AI generated clip of a Scottie Scheffler interview, and it was basically just trolling Rory McIlroy. So I thought you would like that. But what do you think about Scottie's performance? What do you think about the Open Championship? If you have any thoughts on it, what do you think the world of golf is thinking about some of Scottie's comments as well?
I'll be honest, Mason, I did not catch any of it because let's just say I don't do well with the time difference.
You don't? You're not an early morning guy, yeah.
No, I was also county fairing it up all weekend, so nice. I was getting my boots dirty, mucking some stalls for some friends. I'm just glad that when I woke up, I saw that Rory did not win, and that made me happy.
That makes you happy. So you're just for Rory not climbing the leaderboard.
He's just anti-Rory. He's not pro anybody.
A loss for Rory is a victory for the world.
Oh man.
Hey, well, I will say your boy DeChambeau, Liv posted something that he was the best over 54 holes, which, you know, Liv only plays that in their tournament. So at least he was good through three rounds, even though he shot a 78 on day
one. So lame.
That's not ideal. They like you to play the full distance over in the PGA. I know that much. So
There you go.
Like who's the best starting pitcher through four innings?
Exactly.
Wow. You know,
well, most of those guys are on the Brewers. So. Yeah,
that's, right. That's true. Well, that's what I was just so surprised when I saw that about DeChambeau, where it's like, you know, they're congratulating him, you know, best 54 hole stretch in Open history, and it's like, the dude finished like ninth place. Like, that's good, but I mean, he shot 78 on day one.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah, you can't do that. It's a four-round tournament, just like the Brewers' season is 162 games. Like, yep. We need to stay composed.
We have a phrase for that when you're. Let's go back to 2014 when the Brewers somehow were running away with the NL Central, and then over the final month or so, just lost it. Choke, is that the word? Heimlich maneuver.
It is a word.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me. I love Bryson, but. Yeah, that's a goofy stat. That's not something to celebrate.
We talking about this team, and I want to talk specifically about that Friday night game and Quinn Priester's performance. And just like coming out of the All-Star break, beating Glasnow, winning that game 2-0. Like, Quinn Priester, like, we're so excited about Mizorowski. We're so excited about Woodruff. We're so excited about Peralta. Quintana's the wily veteran. Like, how does it is so impressive what he's doing in that rotation right now. What words do you have for Quinn?
Why can't the Red Sox see guys like Quinn Priester?
Oh, you know what? I'm unbelievable. All right, I'm done. I quit.
No, you're right, Mitch. I mean, I don't think we're talking about Quinn Priester enough. I think that guy. What he's done this year is incredible. It's been so fun to watch. You're watching a dude figure it out in real time. You're watching guy learn how to pitch, literally from pitch to pitch. He's building confidence every time he releases the ball, every time he steps on the mound. You have to be excited for him. You know, you keep talking about the young talent the Brewers have in his system. You know, Mizorowski is getting all the attention right now as being the future ace of the staff. It kind of reminds me of the Burns, Woodruff, Peralta trio as they were coming up. You know, you knew that Burns was going to be the flashy guy, the star that got the awards and accolades, and Woodruff was just out there being that solid guy every single start. And I see the same thing right now with Miz and with Priester. And Priester filling that Brandon Woodruff world. You know, he's the guy that's going to go out there every 5 days, give you seven innings, strike out a ton of dudes, give your guys a chance to win. I love watching the guy pitch. I really do. He's probably the best story on the team this year.
I love that. Yeah, I mean, he's 8-2 overall, only behind Freddie Peralta, which, and when you look at Freddie Peralta, 12-4 as his record is just insane. Applaud him on what he's doing. Yeah, this pitching staff is just stacked. So do you think that if they go into this trade deadline, you think they will try to maybe add a piece into that bullpen? Would be one of your guesses there.
Yeah, and that's the Brewers' MO. That's everyone's MO at this time of year. You don't, especially with the Brewers' bullpen. You know, Jared Koenig has been working a ton. Nick Mears has been working a ton. Yeah. Uribe has been working a ton. You got to give those guys a blow. You got to get a fresh arm in there. You know, they may have some options down in the minor league level. Maybe you give Yoho another run. But they've got to find a way to get some extra firepower in that bullpen. That's the weird thing is for all the success the Brewers have had with pitching over the last couple years, their trade deadline pitching acquisitions have not worked out very well at all. Hmm. And that's something they've got to turn around.
Interesting. Yeah.
Do you think there's any chance a guy like Logan Henderson or Tobias Myers could end up helping in the bullpen?
You know, if they don't find a good fit on the trade market, maybe. And I was thinking about that the other day, like, especially because you're going to try and monitor those guys' innings and workloads. Do you maybe start shifting Henderson or Myers into relief roles going down the stretch? That could be something. You know, something to keep an eye on down at Nashville. We're getting to that point in the year where those guys are kind of close to or surpassing their innings totals from the year before. And we know that you want to go maybe 30% more than the previous year in terms of innings pitched. That could be an option. You know, I think they want to keep those guys starting as much as possible, but it's definitely something that could be if they don't find the right fit on the major league trade market.
Well, and I think of a guy, especially like Logan Henderson, who's such a strikeout guy. Like, that's the kind of guy you might want, you know, as a seventh inning opportunity to, you know, take some of the stress off the other guys if it's a guy like Logan Henderson who can come in and get some big strikeouts.
Yeah, it's definitely possible, and it does fit the mold. The question is, do you want to do that to your guys? Do they have relief experience in their background? Because it's not as easy as just shifting a guy. It's a different mindset. It's a different workload. It's a different recovery program. There's a lot that goes into it, but I definitely think it's something that they explore as they go into the stretch run and try to find ways to shore this team up as best as possible.
Well, awesome. Drew Wagner, Forbes Sports, our Brewers clubhouse insider. Really appreciate you, Drew, and we'll talk again on Thursday.
Sounds like a plan, boys. You have a good week.
All right, you too.
You too, Drew. Enjoy the late nights watching those games. Brewers in Seattle for the next three. Drew Wagner, of course, joins us on the Fan Guest Hotline powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. So he doesn't see Suarez. He doesn't see that big, big move. I think that's kind of how most of us view it when we look at it logically. Like, the Brewers have never been that franchise that does that huge splash all-in move. Even when they got like a guy like Moustakas, who was a starter for the Royals at the time, like, it's not like Moustakas had 35 home runs the way Suarez does. That bidding war should be pretty substantial if it ends up being Mariners, Yankees, and Cubs. I think the Brewers could certainly outmanage those three teams because of how amazing their farm system is. But I don't think that's something the Brewers will want to do.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I think I liked your Logan Henderson suggestion. I think if they can shore it up, from within, that would be ideal.
Dude, Mason, these guys are pitching
they just haven't had success,
right? Yeah. Like Mears and Koenig and Uribe, yeah, like
they're working.
Yeah, and it's like Tommy and I were talking about it a little bit off air, just about like the workload that these guys have had, and it's like you know, we've seen it with guys where it's like, you're amazing for the first 4 months of the year, and then you break down, and it's like, we need you in August and September, but you just don't have it anymore because they've already pitched in 60 or 70 games.
That's true. Yeah, so they need to be wise with that and, like, do the right things, not just go try to, again, get a splash or, like, make a big move to try to shore that up necessarily. Sometimes you just might need a few arms, just some live arms to come in there, try to get you out of a couple innings and give these guys a break.
This is the Mason Crosby Show presented by Verizon, the official 5G network of the Green Bay Packers. It is training camp week. Training camp opens on Wednesday. Andy Herman, his life is about to change big time as he will be diving into all the training camp. He does like play-by-play of all training camp. It's unbelievable. I don't know, like,
I might have three packs a day. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. Ooh, nicely done. But we're going to get into, you know, according to pretty much every local and national prognosticator, I know most people haven't made their official picks yet, but when you look at, like, early predictions, I think most teams think the Lions are the class of the NFC North. And, you know, I think a lot of people still think the Vikings are really good, even though they have a first-year quarterback starting, so we'll see how that goes. People think the Bears are going to be better. People think the Packers are going to be really good, but people don't really think that the Packers are going to win the division. What's keeping them from that? We want to dive into that, right, Mace?
Yeah, let's jump into it. Yeah, kind of why is that the storyline, that they are not the perennial front runner right now? I get the Lions. I get that they won, but yeah, I want to dive a little bit deeper as we're getting right on the cusp of training camp here.
Let's do that when we come back next here on the Mason Crosby Show.